Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. Those who attacked us on 9/11/2001 hate us because we love Israel. They call us the Great Satan, and Israel they call the Little Satan. This year's 9/11 remembrance occurs on the very day that begins the Jewish festival Rosh Hashanah. That means head of the year. In our Bible, it's called Feast of Trumpets. This year, September 11, daylight, marks the end of the Jewish year, 5786, and the evening of 9/11 begins year number 5787. Given the coincidence that the 25th anniversary of the 9/11 attack on America's quintessential city, New York, lands on the first day of the Feast of Trumpets, and the significance of that coincidence in the light of the rise of anti-Semitism in America, along with the occupation of New York by Islamist communists, a city populated heavily by Jewish people, and yet they have a mayor that is, well, he shows some tendencies toward anti-Semitism. What is going on? And you see this really both in the mayorship of the targeted city and the governorship of the state. Now, we should pause a moment and reflect as we hear the bleating of shofar announcing the turn of a new year. As you listen to the sounds of shofar playing under the sound of my voice, contemplate the irony that Islam declared war on the United States on November 4th, 1979, when the Shia Muslims launched their revolution, took power in Iran, attacked the U.S. embassy immediately, taking 66 American hostages, and then the next day Ayatollah Khomeini declares, quote, "In this revolution, the great Satan is the United States," end quote. While Carter, President Carter, watched it on TV. God raised up Reagan in answer to our fervent prayers, and Khomeini understood that this president, well, was not Carter. He released the hostages within hours after Reagan was sworn in. Reagan's bold leadership brought about the collapse of the United Soviet Socialist States of Russia, or something like that. The Muslims and the commies in the USSR were quiet until 1993, throughout the entire presidency of Reagan. While in the 1990s, Clinton gets in, becomes a president, and while he was getting to know Epstein and Lewinsky, the Shia Iranian Muslims, along with Saudi-based Al-Qaeda, started attacking Americans, starting with the first attack on the World Trade Center, killing six, wounding more than 1,000. They hit us again in 96, 98, and then the USS Cole in 2000. Clinton watched from Epstein's Island, I guess, while the Muslim menace murdered 242 Americans and wounded 5,912, or numbers like that. And then we come to 9/11. Bush, too, was in office at that time, about 8 months in, and that attack was on our soil, and we responded. Some of 9/11's memories are etched deep into our hearts, like scars that remain after a surgery or injury. They bear witness to the significant events in our lives. Zach would sometimes sit in my lap, you know, would sometimes point to the scar he would notice under my lower lip and ask about it, and I'd tell him the story of how I got that scar. I could give a rather full account of my life in the younger years by talking you through the stories behind my five scars. Jesus, even in his glorified body, wears the five witnesses to his suffering on the cross for us in the wounds in his hands, feet, and side. Curious, isn't it? He refers to his scars as wounds. 9/11 scarred our national soul. We must never forget the story of that scar. The Bible says there is a time to laugh and a time to cry, that important lessons are learned in the house of mourning that are superior to what is learned in the house of mirth, that we must sometimes, quote, Let our laughter be turned to mourning and our joy to heaviness, James 4:9. Today, remembering 9/11 has greater relevance even than it did on the day of that infamy. So remember and consider. The elitist globalists thought to use radicalized Islam and revolutionary Marxists and back the candidate who would lead the transformation of America that they sought. Enter Obama and the election of an undercover Muslim to the office of president, who began his campaign with the announcement that America is no longer a Christian nation and promised to transform America. He never said from what and to what else. From what, however, was obvious. It had to be from what it once was. And according to Obama, America was no longer that, no longer a Christian nation. So half his work was done in his mind. Don't bother calling in to say, I didn't quote the full statement. What he did as president made clear his meaning. I omitted the framing that was used to hide the meaning, but his meaning was made plain when he began replacing American Christian traditions with praise and policies that supported our enemy, Islam. Godless communism, enemies. And the corruption of our culture through the LGBTQ scam. His open defilement of our Christian symbolism and moral traditions, and his equally open hatred for America as founded, made it clear what he wanted to change America from. Although he never told us into what he would have us be transformed, we saw by his policies and actions he meant to Islamize America, to even fund the development of the enemy state of Islam in their plot and their plan to destroy America. He was building his golden image of the state, kind of a Nebuchadnezzar sort of a thing. Anyway, and demand all in his world to bow to his state, to remove us out from under the proposition that all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, and come under the satanic proposition that all must bow to Nebuchadnezzar's golden image of the state and dance with his golden calves, his gods, around Nimrod's tower of defiance and a globalized government. Now, God has heard our cries and raised up a champion to check the rise of the Islamic State, took out Obama's ISIS, and took on Obama's friends in Iran. You know, the regime I've heard some say he bribed with billions to avoid war, but what I suspect is that he was funding them for the common cause of advancing the purpose, death to America, as founded, and death to Israel. Obama did more to advance the Shia mullahs toward obtaining a nuclear warhead and ballistic missile capacity to strike the United States than anyone before or since. Well, I guess we would have to throw Biden in there. He sure gave them a bunch of bucks, didn't he? But really, Biden was the face of Obama's second term, say that. But God heard our cry and has raised up his champion to restore America's leadership in the world for justice and liberty for all and against the tyrants that would steal from us our liberties. It appears anti-Semitism and anti-Christian sentiment is rising in the United States, with godless communists being lifted into positions of power in this country like never before. This actually started big time with Biden, with the explosion of Muslims entering into positions of power. I think it was in the election of 2022, and a dangerous alignment that has developed between those who hate the God of Israel, deny Jesus is the Christ of God who has come in the flesh and is king over all the world, and I'm talking about Islam, with those who deny God and hate Christ, hate every mention of him, who rage with gnashing their teeth. We will not have that man, Jesus, to reign over us. A prophecy in Luke 19:12-27. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is king, prince over all the kings of the world. The communists have found common cause with the Islamists. Together they hate the God of Israel, who is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our king. And so hate the Christian nation under Christ as king, America, and the Jewish nation who worships the God of Israel, although most Israelis remain willfully ignorant of his son and that partial blindness of which Paul spoke. So Islam and communism have joined together to rage against the Lord and against his anointed, Messiah, Christ, calling for the bands and cords of Christ to be broken, that they might then devour one another over the spoils of America's and Israel's demise. But God was and is on our side. With Israel we may sing, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. Now may Israel, I'll interject, and America say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Death to America, they screamed. Their wrath kindled against us. Hold on. I'm coming back in just a moment.
Scheidbach,
pastor at Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singing the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Not only do we remember the 11th, but also the 10th and the 12th. 9/10, memorialized for a communist sympathizing LGBTQ ideologue killing a Christian leader named Charlie Kirk. 9/11 memorialized for the attack by Christian and Jew-hating Mohammedans attacking America, and then 9/12 memorialized for the attack by America-hating Muslims on an American compound in Benghazi, killing four Americans and one of them an ambassador. In the first segment, I mentioned the curious correspondence of our 9/11 remembrance this year with the Jewish Feast of Trumpets. I'll speak to the prophetic implications of that Saturday night on Brain Massage Live. I used the Jewish shofar trumpets announcing the fall festivals, beginning with the Feast of Trumpets that starts today. By the way, I write and produce the show on Fridays, so this is 9/11, and culminating in the Day of Atonement. We are in the period the Jews call the 10 Days of Repentance. And that reminds me, by the way, a friend, Charles Jones, a pastor friend, is participating in 10 days of prayer and fasting at the Moss Chapel in North Carolina, a church founded over 200 years ago, where revival broke out in 1802. That's 1 year after Jefferson sent the Marines in to deal with the Muslim menace back then, the Barbary pirates. The 1802 revival at Moss Chapel was part of the larger movement that began in 1797, about 7 years after Washington was inaugurated as the first president of the United States, and that revival continued through 1805. The Muslim Barbary pirates were harassing our overseas transit in the Mediterranean, holding us hostage to their piracy and demanding bribes or protection payments. And that started almost as soon as George Washington became the first president of these United States. Anyway, we've been fighting the Muhammad blight for hundreds of years, and it's time to end this. 9/11 is a good time to pause and remember that Islam is a religious system that is the enemy of liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ is, there is liberty. Islam and the Democrat Party today deny that Jesus is Christ the King. Somebody hollered out during Kamala's meeting there, Christ is King, and she said, oh, well, you need to be at that other smaller rally, which is probably twice the size of hers, but anyway. And then when the same thing happened at J.D. Vance rally, he stopped, he said, you're right, he is King. So that just tells you everything you need to know about these two parties, which is which, and where you should be putting your support. Friend, Jesus Christ is King. He is the Son of a living God who has come in flesh. And by the way, this specific denial that Christ has come in the flesh is the very definition of the spirit of Antichrist, 2 John verse 7. We need another Holy Spirit sent revival. We remember the murder of Charlie Kirk on September 10, 2025. Charlie was a stalwart champion of the Christian faith and of Christian liberty and the truth that makes us free. He was killed because that's all the left had available to them to stop him from overturning and completely pulling down the stronghold that they have established in American universities. By the way, if you want a clear explanation of how spiritual warfare really works, answer me the question how that, even though it's true that he that is in us, the Holy Spirit, Spirit of Jesus Christ, is greater than he that is in the world, the spirit of Antichrist, and yet it appears Satan is winning so much of the time. And although we are told if we submit to God, then when we resist the devil, he will flee from us. The fact is sometimes Satan's hold on certain people and territory is strong, and he is able to resist our power, at least for a time. You need to find Brain Massage Live, episode number 1130. You find it Rumble, Truth, Social, X, Facebook, so on, where I answer the question, what does it mean when the devil is able to resist our authority? I show two surprising instances from the Bible when devils pushed back against Jesus' command to depart. And what you learn from that is not only astounding and very revealing, but also vital if you're going to war spiritually with confidence, boldness, and effect. To summarize, I can tell you that what we are seeing, and I'm talking about the surge in communists openly exposing themselves and exposing the party that provides access to power in this country, the Democrats, what you are seeing illustrates a well-established pattern of spiritual warfare. When Jesus showed up, devils began howling and identifying themselves and acting out in bizarre ways, manifesting themselves in their presence. The political scene went crazy. Murder took hold in the hearts of the religious leaders, and government came under the influence of some really bad actors. And the people, even God's people, became so insane, they called for the crucifixion of Jesus, whom they knew to be innocent of any offense, even remotely worthy of death. And in the full knowledge that they were shedding innocent blood, they cried, "His blood be on us and on our children," Matthew 27:25. That is just insane. And yet, it was in this environment that God was working the greatest show of his grace ever manifested. And Jesus was taking on the powers of darkness and bringing down the greatest stronghold Satan has ever held over this earth and mankind, death. Read Hebrews 2:14. When revival begins to move, that means the Holy Ghost is moving into the world through believers and delivering his reproof upon the conscience of this world. And I got all the scriptures listed here for you to see. When this happens, devils begin to be exposed, and as light gets cast on the evil lurking in the darkness, it gets exposed, it gets revealed, and we see the ugly underbelly of evil before we begin to see the truth, displace the lies, and break the power of darkness, and darkness gives way to the light. We are seeing it in the Clancy trial, a mother who strangled to death her three children, and the insanity of people in this country who are incapable of exercising discernment and see something so basic as this. It's wrong to kill your children. Nothing justifies that crime. We see it in the uncovering of the Muslim fraud menace in Minnesota, Michigan, and big time in California. And although in California, while there's plenty of Muhammad's children running around working their scams here, we've got Arminians busy in our state as well. And it's large organized networks that are doing the job here in our state. I mean, bilking us for hundreds of millions of dollars. We have a Pakistani-based network hitting us for up to $703.8 million. And another one that raked in $418.6 million of taxpayer money. These guys make, you know, the Minnesota Muslims look like pikers. California seems to include some folks with names, by the way, that don't sound Muslim, just saying. Patricia Anderson, $269 million. Terry Patton, $2,312,150. Not to put too fine a point on that number, if you know what I mean. Paul Richard Randall, $269 million. Betty Weinermute, $4 million. And her partner, Sarkis Bolasagian, $6.9 million. Here you go. Clinton Johnson Christian. Now, he's small potatoes. Stole a patient's medicine. Savendik Husainov. Sounds Russian to me, but I don't know. Over $700 million. Patrick O'Melf, a small-time operator. Only pilfered $1.6 million. You get the idea? I only have time for one more of many available examples of looking into the face of evil. Right now, staring at us. Mom Donnie was told to stay away from the 9/11 memorial services plan for Ground Zero. And I'm guessing he really wishes he had honored the sensible request. I'm looking at a video clip of Mom Donnie yucking it up with AOC while the names of those murdered on 9/11 were being read with reverence, and people who lost loved ones on that day were weeping. Look at this. Now, you can't see it, but I got a link here. You can take a look at it. I can hardly believe what I'm seeing. They think this is funny. Now, you know, it seems unlikely that they're giggling about the event. I don't think they're even mindful of what's going on around them. It's clear they were not engaged with the solemnity of the moment, but being frivolous and clearly inappropriate, they should have stayed away. This is a funeral that Americans have been attending for 25 years, and these people are trivializing it. What are they doing there? You can bet that pic is going to show up again and again and again. Now, for a picture that has been embedded in my memory, well, take a look at this link and watch these people running for their lives from the fall of those towers and that great big billowing wall of smoke chasing them down the street. On another 9/11, 2012, another evil manifested to bring murder upon the innocent at the hands of wicked Islamists. And I'm talking about Benghazi. Remember Ambassador Chris Stevens, Sean Smith, and former Navy SEALs and Tyrone Woods? Add them to Hillary's list of shame. Killed 9/12/2012. Then Charlie was killed September 10, 2025 at the University of Utah. The accused was identified by video surveillance cameras, seen pulling the trigger. The murder weapon was found and forensically identified with the suspect. The court ruled the evidence presented by the prosecution was adequate to try Tyler Robinson for aggravated murder. And if convicted, he qualified for the death sentence. Statements that we know that have been made by Tyler make it clear he hated Kirk and hated him because of his political views. See where this one goes. Turning Point USA, founded by Charlie and continued by his dear wife, Erica, exploded across the nation when Charlie Kirk was murdered. He had about 900 college chapters at the time he was assassinated. Now there are more than 1,500 college chapters. He had 1,250 high school Club America chapters. Now there are more than 3,500. Donations to his good cause are stratospheric. Millions stood to say, "I'm Charlie now." The devil attempted to stop the voice of Charlie. God multiplied it 1,000 times over. Now, friend, I'll be live for Brain Massage Live, episode number 1131, on Saturday night, probably around 8 p.m. Rumble, Truth, Social, X, Facebook. I've got some interesting video to share with you, some great insights into Trump's speech, by the way. What was the strategy of bringing up that $5,000 bit? You're going to love it. Everybody seems to be missing that, but I think I see it. The fact that the one holdout in the Clancy trial jury that stopped an unjust acquittal is a black man is not the story. The reaction of the left to that discovery, that's the story. Oh, and the liberal paradox. What are they going to do with a black man opposing 8 white liberals and 2 white men who are also liberal, who hectored, harassed, hounded, bullied, and threatened to try to intimidate him into bowing to white privilege? If you don't think there's white privilege involved in this thing, you don't know the definition they're using for it. But that woman, Clancy, certainly is an example of it. Her husband made something in the area of $250,000 to $400,000 per year, had a nanny there to help her out, moved his office into the house to tend to his wife, and so on. And then there's an important update on the war with Iran. Now it's expanding to 2 fronts. It's time to rid the world of the Houthis too over there in Yemen. Yeah, cool. Hamas gone, Hezbollah seriously limping, just about done. Houthis next? That sounds good to me. Let's finish this. Saudi ought to just take care of it. I remember not too long after 9/11 meeting a friend of the Brain Massage Show and a friend of the Lighthouse Baptist Church at a local car wash here in town. We chatted a bit and he offered his opinion on what needs to be done with the Death to America crowd in the Middle East. "We need to go in there and clean out that mess," he said, "once and for all." Well, I agreed. I thought, yeah. Now, that's the no-nonsense approach you might expect from a successful businessman like Chuck. You might call it the Malachite Protocol. Huh. Anyway, we've got such a businessman holding the office right now, and we're seeing the results of it. Thank you, Matthew. You were spot on. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. Lights on or lights off? What will it be today? You can email me by going to our website, brainmassage.net. Again, brainmassage.net. Find the contact button, fill in the form there, click send, doesn't cost you anything. And let me hear what you have to say. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
Your next Brain Massage is scheduled for Saturday at 12 noon and Sunday at 7 a.m.